It's Pastor Adam's Podcast.
Good day, friends. It is Wednesday. I am Pastor Adam. So you know what time it is. It's time for Pastor Adam's Podcast, devotional thing, whatever this thing is that we listen to or you listen to that I do on Wednesdays. Here it is, right? And today, I want to jump right in to the devotional. We're going to get right to Scripture. We're going to get right after it, right? I got a good one, I think. I hope. All right? So we're going to start 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So you ever notice how something good, something pure, can be twisted into something completely unrecognizable? Well, that's what happens when people distort the word of God. And there's a disturbing truth we can't ignore. Throughout history, there have been people who, you know, claimed to follow God, even preached his word, and yet they did unspeakable evil. Now, this whole topic that I'm going to talk about today is based around something I saw in this new series on Netflix called Monster, the Ed Gein story, which is wildly popular right now. But if you didn't know, Ed Gein was a murderer, did horrible things, which we're not going to talk about any of that. But what was interesting to me was his mother, Augusta Gein. And let me read you this short paragraph on sort of who she was. And this is directly from a biography website about her, right? Augusta was a domineering wife and the undisputed head of the family. Raised in a strictly religious household, she brazenly imposed her beliefs on her young children by frequently reciting the biblical story of Noah and the Great Flood. She predicted a similar calamity, which would happen again in response to the immorality of women, and lamented modern fashion accessories such as short skirts and lipstick. She didn't allow her son to interact with other children outside school and frequently gave them chores around the family's farm. Experts have hypothesized her tyrannizing, being a tyrannical leader, tyrannizing, there you go, behavior affected Ed and caused him to develop an Oedipus complex. And as he grew into an adult, Ed never went on dates, and his unhealthy obsession with his mother intensified eventually to a sickening fault. Now, this series really shows how Augusta used the Bible, used God's word to hammer home her ideology, her twisted view of the world, and her absolute misinterpreted and backwards reading of Scripture. Augusta taught him a twisted, heretical version of Christianity. She told him that all women were evil. They were heretics, they were harlots, that everyone, all the other women on earth were damned. She used Scripture to instill fear, not faith. And then another example, like if we take that out of, move on from Ed Gein and Augusta Gein, there's this other instance of supposed Christian people doing atrocities. And so like there's Dennis Rader, otherwise known as the BTK killer, who was a church president, a scout leader. He led prayers. He quoted the Bible, but he lived a life of horrific deceit. A murderer, a torturer, a killer, just nothing. Everything that Scripture tells you not to be. Then there's Gary Ridgway, who preached door-to-door for a Pentecostal church, insisted his wife follow his strict religious teachings. He regularly read the Bible out loud at home and in work, and he was known to cry while listening to sermons. And that guy, he was the Green River Killer. So let's take all these people who did terrible, unspeakable things and ask this question. how can someone who reads the Bible, like they did, end up serving darkness instead of light? Peter warns us in 2 Peter 3:16. He says this about Paul's letters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. So the first part of that scripture that stood out to me was the ignorant and unstable people distort. So it's talking like, man, these ignorant and unstable people are taking these words, right? And then there's a sobering phrase at the end that says, to their own destruction. When scripture is twisted, it doesn't just mislead others. It destroys the one doing the twisting. And even Satan tried this trick in the wilderness. In Matthew 4:6, the devil quoted scripture to Jesus saying, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, Satan's actually quoting Psalm 91, which says, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands. But the problem was he left the meaning out. So you see, Satan uses God's word to tempt the Son of God, twisting its meaning. But Jesus answered, and this is in Matthew 4:7. It is also written, do not put the Lord to the test. And what he's doing there, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, which says, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massa. So hear this. Even the enemy can quote the Bible. The question is not, can someone quote scripture? It's not, do you know scripture? But do you live by the truth of it? Jesus addresses this head on in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So you can know about God without knowing him. You could talk about the light and yet still walk in darkness. Dennis Rader, you know, the BTK killer, he looked righteous on the outside, a man of the church, a family man, but inside his heart was a tomb. And Jesus spoke of such people in Matthew 23:27. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of the bones of the dead. Friends, just religion without relationship is deadly. It's not about how loud we sing, how often we post Bible verses online, or how eloquent we pray. It's about whether we walk in love, humility, and repentance. And let me share, it's to lighten the mood a little bit, because it's pretty dark, right? Let me share a joke. And don't worry, that all this was going to relate to the overall topic of the day. I think it was probably a few years ago, I heard someone say they had biblical proof that there's no women in heaven. And I was like, you know, it's a joke that's coming, but it's like, there's no way anything in the Bible remotely says that women wouldn't be in heaven. Like, that's crazy. Then he provided the proof. And I have to say, pretty compelling. It's in Revelation 8:1. And so let's read that together. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Then the guy was like, see, it says there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. You know, women can't be silent for that long, right? I mean, they're going to be talking, they're gonna be talking. And he's like, ah, right? Now, of course, it's ridiculous because it's a joke, right? But the example of how people can pull something completely out of context and make it say whatever they want from scripture is right there. And we laugh at that. Some of us laugh at that. But how often do we do the same thing in our life, but maybe in smaller ways? Maybe taking a verse out of context to justify our anger, or maybe in judgment of others. If we're not careful, we can use the Bible to support our opinions instead of letting it transform our hearts. So, how do we protect ourselves from twisting the word? I think the number one thing we do is you don't do it, right? It's pretty obvious. That's what I think. But Paul gives the actual answer in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. That phrase, correctly handles, means take it seriously. Handle it carefully. Don't bend it to your will. Let it shape your will. And remember, understanding the Bible and what it says isn't even about intelligence. It's about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Without the Spirit, even Scripture becomes dangerous in the wrong hands. That's why we should pray before we read, so that it keeps us humble, open, and teachable. And that's the most important part. Because the Bible isn't a weapon to win an argument. It's actually more of a mirror to reveal who we are. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16-17, by their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So if someone claims to know God, but their life is full of hate, cruelty, hypocrisy, well, their fruit's probably going to tell the truth. True understanding of Scripture produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Twisted faith produces the opposite: pride, fear, control, judgment. So don't ask yourself, do I know the Bible? But am I allowing the Bible with the Holy Spirit the ability to change me? The Bible is powerful. It's the sword of the Spirit. But as we know, in the wrong hands, a sword can harm instead of heal. That's why humility is key. We don't read Scripture to win debates. No, we should be reading it to know the heart of God. 1 John 4:1 warns us, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So, test every message, every sermon, even every thought you think is from God against the full truth of Scripture. So that's what I had for you today. You know, it's October, it's the spooky season, so we get into a little bit more dark topics in this month. So, hope you enjoyed it. If you got something out of it, please share it, tell people about it, all that good stuff. All right, you have a good one. I'll see you next Wednesday.